Hi, friends. Welcome back to another episode of Your Age Is Not Your Cage with Carla Allen. Today, we are talking all things holistic health with my very special guest, Kathleen Klug. Kathleen is a 40-year veteran in the health and wellness industry. She's an author, a speaker, an educator. Kathleen has a book called Start With One that we will be discussing. It is amazing. And she also has an e-course for the Start With One. And we are going to be talking all things to do with integrated health, holistic health, which if you don't know what that means, it's just a oneness, all in one, everything within your body, mind, and spirit. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Kathleen and say welcome to the podcast, Kathleen.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Carla. It's always a pleasure to share health and wellness and what integration is and what that looks like.
Yes, because I think a lot of times we assume people know what all that means. And so I'm excited to dig into that. But before we do, if you tell everyone just a little bit about you and some background and maybe kind of what started you on this journey and also in writing a book.
Well, I have been in the fitness and wellness field for many years. I started actually teaching at Jack LaLanne's.
I have his book. It's one of my favorites. It still sits out.
Talk about an integrative teacher, right? He always was talking about body, mind, and spirit, your thoughts and your spirit and your faith. And so he was such an icon. So he had a franchise of gyms. I don't know if you remember that. So So that's where I started teaching. And, but before that, I'm a twin and Eileen is my sister and she started teaching. And, you know, back in the early 80s, before this was even an industry, you would just like start teaching. They don't do that anymore. So she was teaching aerobics and with the leg warmers and the whole, you know, if that even was even then, but, and I was her assistant. And so I would attend all her classes and take role and everything. I think that's how I paid for my classes. And so it definitely got me into the field. And shortly after that, I started teaching at Jack LaLanne's. And then, you know, through years of teaching and getting better and as the popularity of aerobics came to be a lot from jazzercise, although this wasn't jazzercise, but that was a very popular format then, became, you know, group exercise became very big. So just really staying and doing the different formats from cycle to strength to kickboxing to, you know, aerobics to all these different kind of formats. Then I moved also into personal training and I had a studio out of my house for 10 years, went to the Institute of Integrative Nutrition and got my certificate for integrative health. In the meantime, I also got my degree in addiction studies and worked in the addiction field for a short time. And now I am working at Kaiser Permanente in their weight management program. And I'm also a health coach for small groups and individuals with my own business. So everything is used, you know, all of our experiences come together. And I love being where I'm at right now, working with, you know, years of with healthy people and also not so healthy people.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I love that. I too got certified through IIN. So yeah,
okay.
we have so many similarities. But
Yes.
Yes, I did the same.
Yes. Well, I will say I followed my sister in that too. I remember when I was after I was working and stuff, I always was in fitness and in training and stuff. But I knew as my kids were getting older that I was in like this transition. I was getting into this trend. I don't know if you experienced it. I think a lot of moms do when their kids are you know, getting older and then you know what's going to happen. They're going to leave. And before that, they don't even need you as much or so they say. I was driving everywhere, so they did need me. But I was like, something is stirring inside of me and I did not know what it was. And I trusted I was going to find it. I trusted and that I knew that God had the next step for me. I just didn't know what it was. And it was this weird like transition in those years as your kids get older, for me at least, where I was ready to start and prepare for my next season without even knowing what it was. So Eileen had actually gone through IIN or was going through IIN. And I had been looking at a lot of different things. And I inquired about IIN and I was like, oh my goodness, I found it. So yes, that was that. I loved my year at IIN. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love all that. And, just the journey that you took and following Eileen and doing the course. And how long ago was that for you?
I think I started in 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because what everything you're talking about in your kids growing up in that journey of moms, because I think moms go through so many phases, and this is off topic what I was even going to talk about, but it just struck me that we go through phases. I remember when my kids were young, feeling like I had to kind of do it all and find my place. And then I kind of backed off that a little bit, and it was kind of a up and down. But then as, like you said, as you know, they're going to be leaving, your mind starts working. Well, what am I going to do? I don't want to be one of those that is just sitting, staring at the wall, waiting for my kids to come home when they're not around. And that same with you. I didn't really know where I was going, but I was getting excited about it. And I started most of my things that I'm doing. I've always done health and fitness, but my health coaching, this podcast, everything in my 50s. And which is why another reason the name of mine is Your Age Is Not Your Cage, because I'm like, there's nothing that needs to hold you back, especially a number, especially whatever that age is, because I'm in my 50s, about to be 60, and still dreaming and thinking of the things I'm going to do. And I think you're the same way in what you're saying. I think it's so important to dream. And you kind of talked about this in your book, which is way ahead, but about having those visions and thinking those things and getting them in your mind, which I think is so important.
Well, surely I when you think about the most productive decades in one's life, it's the 50s and the 60s. Mm-hmm. We sometimes can think that we're, as with our age, there's some diminishing of our purpose. What I am experiencing, and it sounds like you are too, this is when we come into our fullness. Yes. Because we are not caring, you know, we're not caring for the family like we used to, and we're not as distracted. Plus, we have all those years of experience. And this is where we can truly serve. I know I'm serving better at 60 today than I was. It was different. I was doing different things. But I feel like everything has been accumulated from my experiences and my education and my life and my experience from my family and my work. Everything has brought me to this day. And I have much more to offer today because of it. So yeah. I think this decade is going to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. I'm with you. And especially since you're a little step ahead of me, you know, I'll just see kind of how you're doing and follow along.
Well, you're right there. We're pretty darn close. Literally, our birthdays are one day apart.
I know. That's so awesome. Okay, so let's jump into holistic health. And yes, talking about that and in discussing holistic health and what that looks like, and to the person out there that has no idea what that encompasses. And then how do they get started? How is holistic health something that someone incorporates into their life when they have no idea how to do it, or they're stuck, or they've tried everything? Kind of lead us along that way.
Yes. As you know, our health, sometimes we can look at our health as what we eat and if we're exercising. And that's a very short-sighted way to look at health, because we are integrated beings, body, mind, and spirit. What we know is that what we do eat affects our gut, which affects our hormones, which affects how we think, which affects our blood, which affects our energy. How we think of on this continuous like basis as a pattern of thinking affects our moods, how we see ourselves, how we view our work. It's certainly our place in life. It also brings and gives this energy in exchange with others, whether it's a bad or negative energy, you know. So this is a creation of this give and take of what we have based on a lot of our driven by our thoughts. And then our sense of spirit, I connect that to our deep sense of who we are, our identity, who mm-hmm. we are, why we are here, what our gifts and talents are, and how do we fit into this world with this. And there's that saying, it says there's the two most important days of your life, the day you were born and the day you realize why. Mm. Yeah. And so this is this idea of the spirit, of our sense of who we are. So what we know is this body, mind, spirit is a continuum, that what we think and what we feel and our sense of who we are and what we eat and how we move, it's all a part of our health. And it feeds and cycles in each other all the time. And so when I talk about integrative health, certainly we can talk about food, quality of food, quantity of food, timing of food, all that, right? Exercise, of course. But as an example, if one is really stuck in unforgiveness, which is, when I say stuck, I mean like literally stuck in the body. It's like in the cells of like trauma and, you know, repressed anger and all this. This, our body knows this. And we will not find true freedom in that health if we continue to keep that. So, and what we know is, for example, stress kills. So this is that stress on the body with this unforgiveness or anger, whatever it might be, fear. So we can eat healthy and we can move, but when we have this poison in our body, it can actually make us very, very sick. So we are not in a healthy state. So really looking at all we do and think and feel and identify with is our health.
It's such a huge component. It's something I too learned over the years, when I think I used to think more of just, you know, exercise, nutrition, but the mindset piece and what you're telling yourself, what you're believing, what you're saying over yourself day in and day out is so important. And it's so key. And that's one of the things that I loved about your book and how you broke it down into the different areas, because I think so many people don't put that together of how much that is truly affecting their health, maybe their ability to lose weight or their sleep or so many different areas. And your book really broke that down in talking about that. And I know the other, what is it called? The integrated life cycle. You know, I know you had a diagram in the book too. You know, maybe share a little bit of what that is, because I think that is such a, when people look at that diagram, I think it really, because I'm a visual person. So for me, it's very visual in seeing that on what all the things that can affect your health.
Right. So the integrative life circle is an assessment tool. And what I like about it is people can take it, and what it has is it has you identify and rate your sense of contentment and satisfaction in any particular area of your life. And on this assessment tool, you put a dot on this to show like your contentment or your discontent in a certain area. And that might be in your relationships. That might be in your home cooking. It might be in your exercise or overall physical health. It might be in your sense of spirit and purpose. So there's different areas within the body, and there's different areas within the mind and also the spirit. And this tool, once you put your dots on it and you identify where you are, and then you connect the dots, it is a tool that you can see at a glance where you feel strong and content and the other areas that you really could use some love and attention to. So this tool, you can see it's an at-a-glance. You can look at it and go, okay. I see that I lack joy in my life. I see that my physical sense of well-being is very poor. I'm not doing anything. I see, and so you can see. And then with this idea, this is an initial assessment. Okay, we also celebrate what's working. What are you? Where are you feeling good? We celebrate that. We acknowledge that. Super important. And then we go back and say, okay, of these areas that you can identify at a glance of where you lack contentment and satisfaction, what area do you want to start with? Let's start with one thing. And that's really this whole idea of start with one. You identify, well, I really lack joy in my life. Okay. What does that look like to you? What is something that brings you joy? And then starting identifying what that looks like, creating kind of a vision for what does joy look like in your life? Creating that vision. It looks like being with my family. It looks like laughing. It looks like connecting with others. Okay. We bring it down. That's what we want to do. So let's identify one thing that you can do that you can begin with today or several times a week to start creating that. And it might be calling the friends that you haven't called in a long time that you used to, love to be with, or it might be planning a trip somewhere. And so it's whatever area of your life. And to think that joy is not connected to our health is crazy. And I tell you, with no joy as an example of one, then there's many areas. What's the use of having a strong body and mind if you're not even being able to enjoy what you have because you lack joy, you lack connection, you lack spirit, you lack purpose. So this is why it is so important.
Yeah. Well, and the starting with the one thing, like you were talking about, I feel like so many people get overwhelmed when they start kind of figuring out areas they want to work on, and they get so overwhelmed that then they never start because it just seems like too much. And the starting with one, which is one thing I've always told my clients too, is just pick one thing and then start working on that one thing, one baby step forward. And it's things like, okay, you're addicted to Netflix. What could you do to replace that? Just start there. You don't have to start with the food and all the other stuff. And I know that's exactly, the things that you talk about in your book with the start with one thing. So I would love, I wish I could go through and share all my little nuggets that I found in here, because I've marked, I was going to show one. If you're watching on YouTube, I have this book so marked up from all the amazing nuggets that Kathleen shares. But share about the start with one. I mean, I know you've kind of told in starting with one thing, but maybe break it down a little more in however you would like to share, because I know you have like the mindful bites. I know there was your, what's it called? Gear. I loved that. It really made me think about breaking down those things. And so there's just so much good stuff in here. So share with us a little bit on those parts of your training, your book.
Okay. When I decided to and was given this assignment to write this book, there's a lot of books out there about behavior change and nutrition and stuff. And I really knew this, there was my voice. It was truly a divine assignment. So, but I did not know why. I didn't know why me, right? Because as health professionals, we have a lot to say. It was clear, though, in this search of why, that I knew Grace had to cover. Grace had to cover this journey of growing and changing. So I say that because I feel like that's kind of like the umbrella over it all. This is like the grace. Behavior change is complicated. And what I have learned and seen, and the people that I have worked with, are in behaviors for lots of different reasons. But most of it is behaviors that they have learned years and years ago. And we can identify some of these emotional eating patterns from kinder years. So this is where some of these bad habits, these patterns of eating and dealing with emotions and the sense of self come from kinder years. So this is why it can be really complicated. We eat and we have this sense of how we treat ourselves. It's how we express love. It's how we receive love. It's how we celebrate. So it's really so complicated. But if we can identify a place to start and have something like a really easy entry point to improving our health, then we can build confidence and trust in ourselves again to actually create some change. So I'm just going to share before I get into the getting gear. I'm working with a gal, and her body is very impaired right now, and she's in poor health. But movement is something that is required. And if you have to do a chair class or you circle your arms, then that's what you do. And she was so proud. It was so sweet to hear how she had decided she was going to walk up and down her hall 3 times a day. Okay, that's a start with one.
Yeah.
That's a start with one. And you start with one and you start where you're at. So that's the beginning. So what we identify is, where do you want to make some changes? Where do you need to make some changes in your health? Then you come into, okay, what does that look like? I mentioned like the vision. What does that vision of joy look like? What does the vision of good health look like? What is the vision of healthy relationships look like? Whatever it is that you identify that you want to improve, you get a vision for it. And it's not from where you're sitting now. It's like, what do you want to create? What does healthy, loving relationships look like? Even if they are not in your circumstances right now in the moment, what does a healthy body look like? Even though you're sick or you're overweight or you're challenged in many ways, what does that look like? And so you get a vision of this, and you don't judge it to say, well, that's not realistic, or I can't do that. You don't do anything. You just get a vision of the possibility of it. And then you bring this vision down. This is what might be considered a long-term goal/vision. The thing about a vision, though, is it's connected with emotion. Mm-hmm. It's not just, I want to climb this mountain. That's your long-term goal. The vision is, I'm going to climb this mountain and it's going to feel so good, and I'm going to feel so liberated. I'm going to be so proud of myself, and I can feel the air on top of the mountain. I'm with my friends. And so there's this emotional connection to our vision. And that kind of anchors it in our body. And we can remember why we're doing things when we can emotionally connect to our why. And we bring it down. Okay, we bring it down. We've got a short-term goal. Well, I need to get fit. I need to, you know, be able to walk 5 miles so I can go hike, so I can climb this mountain. I don't walk anything today. What does that look like now today? Well, you start with a block. You start with getting your shoes on and maybe walking down your hall, maybe walking to the mailbox, maybe walking to the corner. And that's where you start. So we identify our target behavior, which is today. That's always our goal, is our target behavior. Our goal is not climbing the mountain. Of course, that's our vision, and I get that. But when we focus on completing our goals today, which are target behaviors that move us. Actually, when we are in our behavior, our target behavior, we're doing it, our goals happen as a result. Mm-hmm. It's just a natural result of the work and the consistency of those little tiny things. So the next step is then, how do you do it? How? I want it. I see it. Okay, I know what to do, but how do I do it? I've said this to myself 1,000 times and then I fail myself after the first week or month. Well, that's where the get in gear skills come in. So the get in gear skills is the G-E-A-R, the goal. You set your goal, and that's that identifying of that one target behavior. And it has to be achievable. It has to be measurable. The problem with this first skill, with people who have tried to change before, is that they do not believe what they say to themselves. They do not believe, I'm going to start tomorrow. I'm going to start next week. I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to stop drinking. I'm going to go for a walk. But they've done this before, and it's just it's just their mouth moving. They don't internalize it. They don't believe themselves because they've tried and failed so many times. They want it, but they don't even have the confidence in themselves, and they don't trust what they're worth. So the thing about making it so achievable is that you have to build trust in your own words again. So when you say it, you do it. You say it, you do it. You say it, you do it. And then there's the cycle of trust begins again. And that's why it has to be so simple. I said I was going to walk down the hall. I said I was going to walk to the mailbox. I can do that. That's like ridiculous. It takes 3 minutes. Good. Mm-hmm. Do it. Do it consistently. And this is the training, and we think it's the walk, and really it's just the training that we're going to begin to trust what we say, and that we believe ourselves, and we believe in ourselves to follow through with what we say we're going to do, right? So we pick a goal that's really achievable that we can do, and this is the G. The E is the environment. Arrange your environment so it supports that one goal. So if your goal is to walk down to the corner, your environment would be your tennis shoes out. Whether you have walking clothes or whatever, it might be, you know, a song that you have set on your iPod or your phone, so you can, you know, go down there. It might be an alarm that you set. It might be a timer that goes off that you have to, when you hear that, you have to leave. Whatever. It's arranging your environment. The thing about environment is, our environment is being manipulated every single day. Mm-hmm. And when we go to the store, you know, the classic is, right, the candy near, right, at kids level at the checkout stands.
Yeah.
That's environmental design right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is made, it is put there so we act. So the kids in this case act. All those end caps while we're waiting, all those things, all those compulsive buys. That is environmental design, designed to manipulate an action. So environmental design is all around us, wanting us to act a certain way, because they, whoever wants us to buy something, right, wherever we go, understands the psychology of environment. Well, if we understand the psychology of environment, we can use that to help ourselves do the things that we want to do. So it's really important in this, I call it this environmental design, right? Then we have A for getting gear. And that is for asking for the support you need. We are not an island. You're a connector. And there's so much more power when we are connected with others, either going through a similar thing, who have been there, who are cheering for us, who believe in us, maybe even when we're not sure about it, because, you know, that's a skill, to believe in yourself. And the more you practice it, the better you get. I so believe in the people I work with. See, I know they can do this and they don't know it yet, but I'm going to believe in them until they believe in themselves, because their history says they can't do it. But I know anybody can do this if they have the right tools. And if they start small and they start getting that confidence. And so I believe in them. And when we ask for support, we can ask for the kind of support that says, can you walk with me? Or can I call you after? Or accountability or friendship, or I'm struggling, can we chat? Or, you know, don't bring this home in the house because I don't want that near me. Whatever, you know, it can look like a lot of things, but it's about identifying what does support in this area look like and then asking for it. And I also know, you know, this is an interesting one because I work with people who are in a household or, you know, a work environment or a family environment that does not support their goals. Mm-hmm. And so it's a challenge. So it's even more important, though, that they have some kind of connection outside of those areas that that supports them and that says, you got this. Because they're not going to hear it from others, you know, and changing a behavior that we've been doing for a long time, whatever in any area, can make others around us uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So we may not get, you know, the support we need at home. So we look for it. We have to identify it somewhere, somehow. And it's a really important part of our success. So that's why I put it in there. And then the R in Getting Gear stands for reward. We are to reward ourselves for doing those small things that we said we're going to do. And this could be a check on the calendar. It could be a smiley face. It could be a text to a friend, I did it. It could be acknowledging to yourself, a pat on the back, an attagirl to yourself. It could also be connected with the support you need that, you know, you say, when I do this, would you just give me a high five? And, you know, it seems maybe silly and so small, but it's literally rewiring our brain. Because what we know is behaviors that are rewarded are repeated. Mm-hmm. We're constantly in this repeat, reward cycle. And this is how our behaviors come to be, is we are getting some reward. It's very likely unconscious, but it is part of how we are building and repeating our behavior on the neurological level. So again, when we can be aware of this, we can go, okay, I'm going to use this knowledge for my benefit. Now I'm going to set myself up a reward system. It could be super simple that will acknowledge what I've done and celebrate it with an attagirl or whatever the case may be. Because that feels good to me. There's my little hit of dopamine. That's my mm-hmm. feeling of success. That's my, you know, acknowledging that I can do this. And it really can rewire our brain. And so these are the tools that we use. And this Get in Gear toolbox can be used for any behavior that we want. So that's the how. We identify the what. What do we want with the vision? And then we connect with the how. And that's that toolbox for that.
Well, and that I read through that gear, you know, program so much because it made so much sense. And if you don't have how you're talking about the environment, because I do, I see that a lot in different clients and stuff. It's getting that environment ready and getting your mind wrapped around that also being ready. Like you said, may seem simple to someone, but if your tennis shoes are sitting out, you know, or your alarm goes off, you know, this is my time to go do whatever. I think it's such a good point. And then the asking someone, I think this is where health coaches also come in. I mean, the perfect place, because that's what we do. You know, we do, we believe in them. We see things in them that they may not see and help hold them accountable where they may not be getting that at home. Because I've definitely seen that in some of my clients, and that they need that person that they can ask for help in holding them accountable to that. And then the rewards. I mean, we all want to feel a high five, you know, whatever it is that makes you feel good, in a reward in the hard work that you're putting in. And it's just repeating that creates those daily habits that just before you know it, it's become your lifestyle. And it's just taking, like you said, it's starting with that one step and allowing that to just work. And before you know it, you'll be like, how did I ever not do this? Or how did I sit in front of the TV for so long? Whatever it is for you, you'll be looking back going, wow, you know, and then I think that empowers you to move forward to the next step, the next thing you're going to start with. And I know you talked in the book too about a lot about gratitude and things like that and awareness. I think those are so important to just have that gratitude on your heart, on your mind all the time, because again, I believe that just rewires what's going on in here.
It does. I think gratitude is our superpower. And we can get into patterns of behavior that are not healthy, and we can get into patterns of thinking that are not healthy. And that opposite of that poor me, which keeps us like in a hole, right? I'm the victim of this. It's so powerless. Oh my goodness. Things just happen. It's like, how did this happen? I don't know. It just happened. And if you were to go back and dissect that, it was a setup from the very beginning.
Yeah.
And it's led often, you know, the actions are led from, I can't do this, or this is so hard, or who am I to think I need, or I could do this, or this is like the opposite of gratitude. This is the opposite of power or empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And so to replace, and we talk it, which I love the crowd out, right? We crowd out. We crowd out the negativity pattern, because these are patterns we've been practicing. Mm-hmm. And we all know people that the first thing they do is like, how you doing? Well, blah, and you're like, oh no, here it comes, because they are in a pattern of thinking the worst.
Mm-hmm. And so many people don't realize they're doing it. Yeah.
Yes.
I didn't mean to cut you off. You actually cut out on the video. So I didn't even know you were talking, but I think so many people don't recognize the negativity and the complaining become just their normal, and how their brain is now. They don't even realize that they're doing it. And to be able to reframe that and replace that with gratitude and speaking life over themselves, into situations makes such a huge difference.
Makes all the difference. And it does start with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with awareness, and it's only in awareness that we have the choice. Because if you're not aware that you're in a constant negative pattern, then what choice do you have to change it?
Mm-hmm.
It's the awareness of, my goodness, I'm identifying, I'm becoming aware of my thoughts, and they're pretty gloomy and dark and pessimistic and negative. And you start being aware of what comes out of your mouth and your attitude and your body language. Well, as shocking as that might be, because you've been aware this whole time, and now you're aware, you're like, oh boy, this doesn't feel good. But at least you're aware. Now you can start doing something. Now you can choose something different. You know, there's that in that book by Viktor Frankl, he talks about in between the stimulus and the response is that space,
mm-hmm.
right? The stimulus, the trigger, the emotion, the temptation, whatever it is. And how we respond is a space. Mm-hmm. And I think it's in this space that when awareness is, this is where our choice is. We can choose to have a stimulus, a trigger, whatever it might be, and not go directly to that automatic response, but only if there's awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And in this space is where choice lives. But it only lives if we have awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So without that, that stimulus to the response is just a straight line. We're going to do what we've always done. We're going to be quick to anger. This is what we do. We're going to be quick to shove in stuff in our mouth. We're going to be quick to talk about somebody else behind their back. So yes, awareness is where it all starts. And I remember in my 20s, early 20s, I write in the book about my journey of forgiveness, which was such a transformational experience in my life. So I experienced this freedom from that. But I went to see a counselor, not because I identified, oh, I have some unforgiveness that is stuck. I didn't go because I didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. But I went because I had just broken up with my boyfriend at the time. And I don't know. I had something kind of gurgling up in me. I mean, people would say, how are you? And I'd be like, uh-oh, it's coming out. I didn't even know what it was. And so I went and saw a counselor, and I'm so grateful I did. But the initial thing was, oh, my boyfriend, it's, you know, his fault. He did this and he did that. And then I started bringing awareness to what I did and how I was kind of sabotaging and setting up. And I tell you, that awareness that it's me did not feel good. But it was the opportunity to do something about it, to bring empowerment to it, that, wow, if I can figure this out, then I can do something about this. I can do something about me. I can't do anything about him. Well, this led to just deep awareness of a lot of other things, which is what led into my transformation through forgiveness from my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And that boyfriend I've been married to now 32 years. So, Carol. Yes.
Just in talking about the empowerment you get from that awareness, it's that is where the healing's found. And it doesn't always feel good to figure these things out. It can be a journey and maybe not feel so good at first, but when you get through it, because I too have been through a lot of the same things, it's such a freeing feeling, and it frees you up to move on and to do the other things that you are being called to do. And so let me ask you, I know there was a couple things I wanted to look at. I have to see if I set it down on my desk here, or I might have to peek in your book and see, because there was a couple little quotes and stuff I wanted to read from it. If our listeners are going, but okay, so what do I do? Or what does it look like if I get this book and I start with one, or I call Kathleen and I'm like, help me, I need your help. Give just a little insight what that looks like for someone coming in going, I want what you're telling me. What tools, what things can they do? And what does it look like if they jump into something like this?
Well, I started out saying that grace had to cover this whole journey. When kind of like that awareness, when I realized that I was creating this situation, that even though I wanted to point my finger at somebody else, I was creating the circumstances in my life. This is a hard truth, because people say, well, it's genetics. This is why I'm so unhealthy, or I have a bum knee. That's why I can't work out. Or, you know, we want to blame it on something. So to take responsibility for one's health, and that's body, mind, spirit, whatever that might look like, the unforgiveness, the lack of physical movement, whatever it might be, is such a big move. And it's such a self-empowering move, but it can feel tough. It's kind of tough to realize this. I've created all that, this crap in my life. How did I create it? Well, you did. We do, through our behaviors and our way of thinking and our being stuck. But there's grace, because we're all hopefully learning and growing and changing. And it is complicated, and it can be stuff that is rooted in a lot of pain and trauma and familial stuff. So I think that we just have to start with grace, like, okay, I want to be kind to myself. So be kind. We're just learning. And when you have the awareness that you've created this, you can feel really bad and even stupid. Gosh, look at me, look what I've created. But you know, this is the beginning of some great changes. And this is just the part that we have to come through when we are realizing that we've created a life that we do not like. So with change, we have to be kind to ourselves and understand that anything we do new is can be a challenge. Mm-hmm. You know, if I was to go play a sport that, you know, rugby, I mean, it would be horrible. I would be the worst at it. I would be fumbling everywhere. It would be painful in lots of different ways. And I wouldn't like it. Because that's what happens when you go down and you learn new things. It can be tough. But the idea that you're learning deserves grace and kindness to self. So we're going to fall when we try new things, and it's going to get bumpy, and that's okay. That's all part of the journey. So I would say that's a great place to really allow yourself to start. Like, okay, I'm on a journey. I don't know what I'm doing. This is hard. And instead of saying, oh, I missed that day or I didn't do it, it's okay. What's there to learn? You're growing. Just the fact you keep showing up, you're growing. Mm-hmm. So kind of repicturing how we can learn and change, especially when we're looking to climb a hill sometimes. It's one step at a time. So we start out with, you know, knowing that the journey is going to have its ups and downs. And when we can expect that, we can deal with it. Mm-hmm. And then moving on to identifying what do you want, right? You know, getting this the tools in place and practicing them. And then, you know, working, I do work with people who just say, I know what I want and I know what to do. I don't do what I want to do mm-hmm. and what I know I should do. And I need accountability.
Yeah.
So this is where I work. And people will come, I'll work with people who don't know how to do this. And they're literally practicing one skill, one basic skill, and practice. And then, like you said, it becomes who you are. It becomes what you do. You don't think about it anymore because it becomes your natural state as an exerciser or as somebody who eats healthy or someone who always thinks the best first or someone who forgives easily. It becomes what you do. Mm-hmm. But until then, it takes a lot of practice. And so sometimes people are just practicing this one behavior and that have been rooted in, you know, the total opposite for so many years and decades and decades. And so when they get stressed or they get hungry or they get overwhelmed or they get sick or they have a setback, they'll go right back to old behavior. Nope, we're going to come back. Let's start over. We start again.
Yeah.
And we start over and over and over, however many times until we practice enough. So I work with people who are in all different places in this journey. Some who are very clear of what they want to create, know exactly what they want to do, but they don't do it and they want accountability around that. And that's pretty easy, actually, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, when someone holds you accountable, I had something that my daughter had pointed out to me one time, and it was kind of like an ouch, really? I do that? But then it caused me to step back and look and go, I do that. And I became aware. And it's like the more and more that I would catch myself before it would happen. And now I would like to think I stop myself before it's ever even a thought. But it is in that creating that awareness, and it wasn't very pretty at first, but the more I kept doing it and focusing on it and moving forward, and I had someone holding me accountable, because we don't always want our kids telling us what they see or what to do, but it's often the ones you go, wow, she's right. The other thing I wanted to bring up in all of it that I think is so important, and I know you do too, is knowing your why, because that is something that has been so big in my own journey of knowing my why and what I'm doing. And mine was a lot the health of my kids and having to learn to help them overcome stuff as they were young. And then my dad having Alzheimer's, diabetes, all the things. And then he passing away this last September from that. You know, my why, it gets more and more all the time, but I know my why, and I know why I do what I do for myself and for others. And that's what I'm reminded of all the time too, is knowing your why. And I know that you talk about that a little bit in your book too, on knowing your why.
Yes, because that's what helps us get through those times when it's hard. Not if it's hard, but when it's hard, when we're tired and we're like, really, am I supposed to be doing this? Or this is whatever challenge that we have to overcome. And I thought the word of courage when you were talking earlier, like this, what, you know, the courage to listen to your daughter, mm-hmm. to say, okay, I'm going to work on this. You know, being in a state of openness to grow takes courage.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. So true. Is there anything else that we haven't covered that you would like to share with the listeners that I might have missed? Or, I mean, if it were up to me, I would sit here and share every one of my little notes on my stickies, I could, but that would take way too long. And I did write down, I was going to say that I had written down, it was at the top of my notes when I read through your book, and it was doing one thing differently has the power to bring momentum, energy, and self-empowerment that can change your health. And I think that must have been in the beginning of your book or close to it, because that's in the beginning of my notes. But I think that encompasses everything that we talked about, that one thing differently. And in that, it's talking about the energy and self-empowerment that changes your health. And so I just wanted to make sure I said that. Oh, I know the other thing too. I loved your, when we talked about gratitude, your 1 minute counter pushups. And then while you're doing that, saying things you're grateful for. I love that. That stuck with me too. I'm like, because I have a gratitude journal that I do, but I'm like, well, that's kind of fun to do some push-ups and do it too. But I have so many notes and stickies, and I won't read through every one of them for everybody, but I want to give you some last thoughts and last words you want to say. And just my thing would be to tell everybody to get this book and walk through the steps that Kathleen has put so beautifully in place in here with the GEAR program and breaking down what it looks like to be have the environment and everything that she's talked about today and more. I think it would be such a good start with one. That would be your first step, is to get her book. And again, it's an easy read. It's not a big, thick book. She made it so, I don't want to say simplified, but it was simple. I mean, it's called A Simple Approach to Upgrade Your Health, Body, Mind, and Spirit. And I truly believe it is. And it would be such a great first step for those out there, that if you've heard anything out of this that we've been talking about, this isn't just about food or exercise. It's the whole body, mind, spirit. And I think from everything you've shared, everyone will realize that's listening that how much more their mindset and what they're believing plays into all of this than they might have ever imagined.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is hopefully very accessible to the reader wherever they may be. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't know where and what to improve. We just know that we're stuck somewhere. And getting unstuck, which is getting the ball rolling, sometimes it's as simple as that. It's like, I just needed help getting unstuck.
Yeah.
And doing one thing can help you get unstuck. Yeah. Back, just one note about the why, which I'm so glad you brought that up. I tell people, to write down their why, even put it in their pocket. Mm-hmm. Put it in their pocket and remember why they're doing this. Remember why they're putting the effort into this. And it can be anything. It can, whatever they want. It could be getting off medications. It could be getting, being able to travel with some freedom. It could be playing with the kids. It can be wanting to see your kids grow up. It can, whatever it might be, just mm-hmm. write it down and put it in your pocket. So if you ever get tired or you feel like, oh, not today, you go look at your why. And you can reconnect with that. And that's just an exercise in itself to just remember and stay in that gratitude and acknowledging what you are doing instead of all that you're not doing, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is the small things. The gratitude pushups, I love them. I also think of that as a kind of a habit stack. So when my coffee and water is warming up, I move my body and I connect it with gratitude. And that's a big thing. It's like walking and praying or mm-hmm. walking and talking with somebody there. It's doing both. And it's, I don't know, I think it comes into our cells in a different way.
Yeah. 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 I would agree. Absolutely. I walk and pray all the time. I'm a big walker. And so a lot of times I'm just listening to nature or I'm praying or whatever it is. But yeah, maybe that's why I resonated with your counter pushups and your gratitude.
Yeah. It's almost like it comes into our cells in a different way. It's like we're moving our energy and our blood and everything's kind of coming together and instead of being just really static. So yes. I have a lot of resources also with the Integrative Life Circle and some lists, pantry lists, and some other resources on my website, which is KathleenKlug.com. I also have KathleenKlugBook.com. And there's, if you just go to resources, you can download those for free. So it's a place to start. And all I would say is do something. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling stuck or you want to improve and you're not doing it, start with one, do something, because sometimes just getting unstuck will get things moving. And then once things are moving, they're moving.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I'll put all your info in the show notes, and I'm assuming the book too. I mean, on your website or Amazon or I'm assuming it's available all the places. Your social media, is that the same? Kathleen Klug?
Kathleen Klug Health.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have all that in the show notes, but before I let you go I have to ask you, because I do ask everyone on my podcast, is what are you doing to not let your age be your cage, or something you want to do?
Yes.
Not let your age be your cage.
Well, we were talking about how this age is, I think it's so liberating. I love my age. I do not mind anybody asking my age or me telling my age. I think it is a very liberating age. I love where I'm at in this season of my life. My girls are grown. They're doing their own thing. My husband and I have been married, like I said, for 32 years this year. And we are just kind of coming into this next season with a lot of travel plans. And the nice thing about what I do is I can do a lot of this remote. I can't work with my one facility remotely, so I'm taking a leave there. But I can do everything else remotely, and I think there's just a lot of freedom. So we are just going to explore and just take the liberty to have some extended travel and you know, I'm going to learn to surf. I've surfed before, but I'm not really good. But, you know, why not?
Yeah.
If I can lay down and get up, then I can surf.
I love it. And, you know, I've had so many women on that are 50 and above, but more 60 and above. And my friend that is 80 is my oldest that I've had on. And just talking to each one of you, and the life in you and the joy and the excitement for what's to come and embracing life It's so encouraging, I know, to listeners that are a few years behind us or 10 or 20 years behind us, because I think a lot of times you tend to think, wow, when I get to that, that's so old. But it's like, oh no, I mean, I've said it too. I'm doing more and feel better than I have. And I think a lot of it comes from gaining that wisdom, that confidence that we're not having to deal with young kids stuff all the time. And it's just seeking out that enjoyment of life, of my husband. And it's a beautiful time. And I think it's why I absolutely love talking to women like you and the others that I've had on, because when I finish these, I'm even more empowered. I'm like, okay, what can I do now? I'm not going to surf. That's not my, that's not my thing. I'll let you tackle that one. But I have enjoyed this so much, and I know my listeners have too, and they are going to enjoy your book so much and be encouraged through it and learn so much. So thank you for your time. I truly do appreciate it, and it's just been an honor to get to know you and chat with you a little bit.
Thank you so much, Carla. I'm encouraged by what you're doing. I love the name of your podcast, and I think that's just that's a little mantra, like, age is not my cage.
Yeah.
And we can be free to live strong lives, and, you know, from our good place of health. And I'm so grateful that my lifestyle has been one of health, because this is where I want to be, and yeah. I can do what I want to. And this is where I also encourage people, you know, we live the life that we want when we do have healthy bodies and, mm-hmm. and minds and spirits. It's never too late. So,
yeah, I always say it's never too late. You're not too old, you know, don't give up. There's a million sayings for sure. And I think from both of us, at this stage of life we're in, it's something we fully believe in, and we want other women to grab onto that too and believe in it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you for letting me share. Thank you, Carla.
Oh my gosh. I thank you. I enjoyed it so much.
Me too.
Okay. All right. We will talk to you soon. Thank you everyone for listening. And we will be back next week on Wednesday for another release of Your Age Is Not Your Cage. Bye-bye.